Okay, so it seems that we are ready to go. Welcome to this session, Microsoft Exchange, On-Premises Upgrade and Coexistence. My name is Ilse van Kriekingen. I'm from Belgium, from Antwerp. Of course, the most beautiful city there is in Belgium. I don't want to hear anyone disagreeing. I kind of felt some hesitation on quite a few people that entered the room when they saw my job title. Hey, no, this is on-prem. She's not going to let us go to the cloud. She's not going to talk about Office 365, is she? Well, that's the last time I mentioned the word Office 365. This is definitely a session on Microsoft Exchange 2013 on-premises upgrade and coexistence with previous versions of Exchange, being Exchange 2007, Exchange 2010. So before we begin, let's talk about the agenda. Let's see, what are we going to talk about? Well, we are going to talk about deployment fundamentals. So there are a few things you need to keep in mind when you're thinking about moving to Exchange 2013. I think quite a lot of you were waiting for the first service pack to appear. Now we have cumulative update one that is there. So I think that more and more of you will consider the transitioning the update to 2013. Now just to put the record straight, it's not really complex. It's not really difficult. You can actually compare it to moving from Exchange 2007 to Exchange 2010. Okay? It's kind of comparable. It's not like we're going to ask you to do some magic to do the upgrade. Okay? And we're going to dive in a bit on the upgrade steps and the coexistence, what you should consider, what you should think about. I know there are sessions about public folders at Deget, but I'm going to talk about public folder migration for a bit. Yeah? Because that is typically something that people bring up, like, hey, we've been using public folders. You've been telling us that we need to get rid of them, and now they are back, and now we need to migrate to them. What's up with that? How do we need to do that? So I'm going to talk about that a bit near the end. And then I'm going to do very briefly, I'm going to try to touch upon unified messaging. Unified messaging was a role that we introduced in Exchange 2007. In Exchange 2010, it was a separate role. But as you all know, in Exchange 2013, we kind of made it a bit easier, and we are stuck to two roles now, the client access and the mailbox server. So how does UM fit in? How do we migrate unified messaging in that layout? A very short look at managing coexistence, and then I think it will be time to head the streets of Madrid and enjoy the lovely weather here, specifically compared to what we have in Belgium. Deployment fundamentals. Now, one of the key things, and I know that when we talked about this session and what I should cover is, they said, well, you don't need to emphasize too much on what the GOM features are. People will know that. But I really do hope that you keep that in mind. If you're using Exchange 2007 and you're going to update to Exchange 2013, there are certain things that we do not support anymore. Yeah? One of the examples that is often given is the managed folders. Yeah? Now, if you're going to Exchange 2013, you will see that in the Exchange Management Shell, the commandlets are still there. Yeah? So the managed folder commandlets are still available. But just be careful, because if you're going to apply managed folder policies to a mailbox, that mailbox won't be processed anymore. Yeah? So that is something, keep that in mind. They are there, but they are there not to be used, so to speak. If you want to coexist with Exchange 2013, you need to have Exchange 2010, Service Pack 3. And you need to have Exchange 2007, Service Pack 3, RU10. Is there anyone still running Exchange 2003? Okay, one, two. You have a problem. As in, if you were kind of hoping that you would get in this session the workaround to move to Exchange 2013, well, the only workaround is move to 2007 first and move to 2010 first. If there is one Exchange 2003 in your environment, setup will not proceed. Okay? These are hard requisites. You need to have Service Pack 3 for Exchange 2010 and SP3 for 2007. Support the client access methods. Yeah, I think you can see them here. Outlook, the preferred client, the rich client, yeah. Outlook Anywhere, yeah, is what we use these days. Outlook for Mac is also supported. Entourage for Mac is supported, as long as you're using the Web Services Edition, yeah. Do keep in mind, if you're migrating to Exchange 2013, as said, look at the supported features, the things that we dropped. There is one feature, I'm sure it may be covered in the client access session, is a spell checking over something, maybe silly. But if you're looking at Outlook Web App as a client, you have the spell check included. In Outlook Web App in Exchange 2013 today, what we see is a spell check relies on the spell checking of the browser. Yeah? So remember that if you migrate, keep that in mind. Yeah? A few things you need to check before you upgrade. Now, one of the things that I often see is when I go to customers, it's like, yeah, but you know what? The customer, they tell me, and I do think we've got Service Pack 3. I do think so. Yeah. So one of the key things that I want to give with you, how do you check that? How do you check if the schema or if the environment is ready for Exchange 2013? So one of the key things that you can keep in mind there is the Exchange Server Schema Version PT attribute. Phew, that's a little mouthful. And here, if you say, I'm not really sure what kind of version our Exchange is running, just open up at the edit, open it up, go to the schema partition, browse to the Exchange schema version PT attribute, check the range upper value, and if it's set to any of these values, you know for which version, well, your schema has been updated to. Yeah. So just to show you, if you've got an Exchange 2010 running around, yeah. So you see, you just use the editor, or you can use the schema snap-in. No really matter. You go to the schema partition, check the range upper, and after running the Active Directory prep for Exchange 2013, you will see that is updated. I'm showing you this because here you can already see that if you run around the Exchange setup, if you want to prepare the environment for Exchange 2013, there is something you need to add and something that you will never ever forget. If you run it, so just want to prepare AD, you simply need to add, I accept Exchange server license terms. It's incredibly long. You cannot abbreviate it. You need to type it in full just to make sure that you won't forget it. So in case you get control or something and they ask, did you agree to the license term? Yes, I did. I remember typing that. So you can type it, add it in, and there you can see he will check a few things. He will prep the organization and, of course, waiting for all the replications and things to happen between the main controllers, you will see that the range upper has been changed to the value it's supposed to be if you're thinking about deploying Exchange 2013 CU1. Okay? Okay. So what are the prerequisites? Here we go. What do you need? You need Active Directory. Hey, that was ever since Exchange 2000, you need Active Directory. Yeah? So that's not really new. 2003, force functional level or higher. Yeah? We do require you to have at least one Windows 2003 SP2 or later in each site where you're planning to deploy Exchange in. We do not support read-only domain controllers or read-only global catalogs. Does that mean you need to panic and you need to remove them? Nope. It simply means that Exchange will ignore them. It will never contact them. Yeah? So there is no reason to panic if you have them. Please do use them if you want to use them, but just remember Exchange will not query them. Namespaces. Don't you just love these namespaces? Namespaces, contiguous. I know, contiguous is the simplest one. One tree, very simple, one name. Yeah? We do support it as Exchange. Non-contiguous is something that we also see if you have an Active Directory environment, a forest with multiple trees and multiple names. Anyone using single label domain? No hands, don't be scared, I won't bite you. No. Single label domains is something that Exchange 2013 does support. Small little note, don't do it. As in single label domains, there are quite a lot of softwares that we create for you that do not support single label domain. So it might be useful to get out of it, yeah, before you have to install something that doesn't support single label domain. Disjoint namespaces, we do support it. That's where you might have a server with a different advanced domain namespace than the domain name in DNS. We do support it, every single one of them. No? So there is no reason to say, no, we're not going to 2013 because we have this or that namespace. No need to panic. You can use it. Other prerequisites, operating systems, 2008, 2012. Since I'm, maybe I'm a bit lame, or how do you call that? I don't want to do a lot. But on Windows 2012, it's easier, because actually it's easier to deploy the prerequisites. Yeah, of course you need IIS, of course you need .NET framework, you need the Windows Management Framework. You need to have the UC, Unified Communications Managed API. Yeah? Why is that? In previous versions of Exchange, you needed to get your hands on them if you were going to deploy unified messaging. But since you're now deploying client access server and a mailbox server with these components in it, you have to have it. So that's the reason why you need to have it, yeah, with the prerequisites of Exchange 2013. I do urge you to go to TechNet. On TechNet, we have a lot of articles, I'm sure you know. And one of them lists you the PowerShell single line that you can use to deploy all the prerequisites. Just deploy them, reboot them if required, and you're ready to install Exchange 2013. Now, when we're looking at Exchange 2013, you know that we have had a, let's say we released it to the market, RTM, on 10.11.12, yeah, which is kind of a funny when you think of. On 10.11.12, we released 13, well, sort of something like that. Yeah, it was general available, so meaning that you could actually, as a partner, if you would have the volume licensing, you would be able to download it. Yeah, it was downloadable worldwide. Yeah, ever since after that, and the service general availability. That is, oops, I wasn't going to say the word again. In Exchange Online, it was was updated the 27th of February in 2013. Yeah. Now, quite a lot what we've seen is when we released Exchange 2013, it was only for greenfield situations because you couldn't update an existing environment. So a lot of feedback was received. I got that from my customers, like, what the hell is that? You release something and I can't use it. Not yet. That's waiting for a cumulative update, which was released in April 2013. Yeah, and then you had to wait for Service Pack 3, and then you had to wait for roll-up update 10 of Exchange 2007. But at least here you have it. Yeah, so everything is available now. You're ready to go and enjoy the new features. One of the things that we that you may have seen in previous releases of Exchange, you had service packs, you had the roll-up updates were released. In Exchange 2013, we kind of changed that, the way that we service Exchange 2013. So we have the security updates, which will be released like on Patch Tuesday, which come with the normal updates. Yeah. And then we kind of introduced the cumulative updates. A cumulative update is kind of a, it's a completely reinstall of your Exchange. Yeah. So it's all the updates that we bundled and we give them to you in a cumulative update. Okay, so this is something that you need to keep in mind. A cumulative update is not something that you're going to install on a Monday morning at 8 a.m. because that might just cause some issues when your users walk into the office. Yeah? So that's something that you really need to keep in mind. Another thing that you need to keep in mind is that it provides you with a few benefits. No hassle anymore with the roll-up updates. It's predictable, 4 times a year. 4 times a year, we will provide you with a new cumulative update. It's not like we will provide you every 3 months with an update. It's 4 times a year. Yeah. So it's not because the first one was released the 2nd of April. It's not like on the 2nd of July, which is next week, Tuesday, that you should be ready to download it. It could be that it's later. Yeah. So it will be 4 times a year. Yeah? What we do is we do test them, of course. Luckily, we do test them in the online environment. And we do. The reason that we do that is because we see that quite a lot of customers, as we introduced in Exchange 2010, are looking at hybrid deployments of Exchange. Yeah? So that's which we improved. We added improved support for those deployments. It also allows us to more rapidly add language resources, yeah? Rapid changes to the language resources. I must admit, the most servers that I run into are installed using the English language of Exchange, but I do know that some customers rely, it has to be in French, it has to be in German, it has to be in Spanish, that I want to install them, yeah? So this will provide us more rapid changes to the language resources, that once it's out for everyone, yeah? Do keep in mind, please do keep in mind, running a cumulative update is a reinstall, meaning that he will update the source files. So he will actually, when you run the cumulative update, when you download it, it's a full server installation. Yeah, it's not running an update. He will, you know how it is. You know that feeling when installing a service back on Exchange 2010. You're like, you see that on the screen, removing the Exchange files. Don't you have a bit of a scare then when you see that? Well, try to get used to it. It's kind of the same with the cumulative updates. But do keep in mind the customizations. If, for example, that file that you all know, the web.config file, if you do customizations in that, well, they will be gone. They will be removed. So you will need to do them again after you install the cumulative update. Keep that in mind. Yeah? Specifically, if you're looking at Exchange Link integration, if you want to have the IM popping up in OWA, yeah? Keep it in mind that you do redo the changes after running the cumulative update. It also means that if you install the cumulative update and if it fails, for whatever reason, yeah, you're kind of in a bit of a situation where you need to think and stay calm and relaxed. And then you need to recover server installation. Anyone ever done the recover server installation? Yep, oh, too many hands. Okay. Now, the recover server installation, what it does is, it will actually use the same server name. It will look in Active Directory and see, oh, this is what I need to install. Great, I'll install that. And then you will have the ability of restoring your mailbox databases to the Exchange server. Yeah? Server version number will be updated with the cumulative update install. Yeah? So make sure you check that. And here you see it. It's a full Exchange install. Full build, uninstall, reinstall. Make sure, don't forget that, don't forget that, because otherwise your users will remind you that you didn't do that, that you redo the web.config settings. It is required for coexistence with 2010-2007. Just install Exchange 2013 CU1, you're ready to go. You don't need to install Exchange 2013 first, and then update, do the CU1 immediately. And as you can see, if CU1 install fails, you must use Recover Server. It's not really, in the end, it's pretty neat what Recover Server install does. I will take the questions at the end. Is that all right? Yeah. So, and then he will say, okay, well, he will simply check AD. Oh, that's what I need to do. That's what I need to provision for. And you will have a database that is not mounted and ready for you to do a restore. Okay? That's kind of it. So now let's have a look at the upgrade and coexistence. How does it work? Don't you love that, the drapes? Yes, you do. I hope you do. I like them. Okay. So, looking at upgrade and coexistence, when we look at Exchange 2010-2007, it was pretty, well, what we did is we kind of made it easier. In Exchange 2007, we had a client access server. You can see that. That actually provides authentication, proxy redirection, and data rendering logic. That's what Exchange 2007 already had. But what we saw is that quite a lot of customers, they install a mailbox server. Oh, and maybe we can add the hub transport server. No, we're not going to add that. Separate server, separate CAS server, separate UM server. So now what we did is we changed that. We kind of made it easier. That's how we say that. We kind of made it easier. And we said, well, you know what? In Exchange 2013, we're going to use the client access server just for authentication, proxy redirection logic. That's what we're going to use it for. Yeah, and then we're going to have the mailbox server all. Yeah, so this will be a lot easier. It will be a lot easier to do updates because the Exchange client access server will capture everything. Doesn't need to do the rendering. It will simply just proxy. Yeah, make sure you have a look. It was yesterday, I believe, the session on client access. Have a look at it. It will go into the complete details on this. But just so you know, why is this important? If you're installing Exchange 2013 and you're not really the command line thingy, you just want to do the GUI, you will have the option to install Exchange Client Access, Exchange Mailbox, or the management tools. That's what you will have. Keep in mind that once you have installed a role, you cannot uninstall it, which you could do in the previous versions of Exchange. So once you have chosen to install Client Access and Mailbox and you rerun setup because you want to get rid of the Client Access server role, you can't do that. Yeah? So think before you begin, as you always should do, thinking about the migration. Yeah? Okay. So how do we do it? Upgrading. Very short, very easy upgrading. We're going to go deeper into it later on. Upgrade from Exchange 2010 to Exchange 2013. First thing what you do is, so you have your clients, you see down there, auto-discover, wonderful feature. And you have the OWA URL that is pointing to Exchange 2010. Nothing has changed. We require you, we urge you, to update the internet-facing site first. Yeah? So that's the first thing that we're going to do. Yeah? We will check if you run setup, we will check if you have Exchange 2010 SP3 installed. If it's not installed, it won't run. We do ask you that you run the tools, yeah, the remote connectivity analyzer, and that we have built-in test commandlets in PowerShell. Test everything, is everything working before you do anything? Then you prepare Active Directory with the schema extensions, prepare it, yeah? And then you're going to deploy your first Exchange 2013. You need to have a client access server and you need a mailbox server. You need them both. Without a mailbox server, you won't have PowerShell. You won't be able to manage your Exchange environment. So install client access server and mailbox server first. Remember what I told you just before. You cannot uninstall a role. If you want that, you need to reinstall. Yeah? So think about how you're going to do that, yeah? Before you begin. So install both a mailbox server and a client access server. Of course, this is this is the easy part. You simply just obtain and deploy the certificates. Yeah, simple. Yeah, on all your client access servers, that's what you need to do. It's a bit more complex, as we'll see later on. But just make sure that you do that. Then you're going to switch the primary namespace to the client access server. Exchange 2013 will have all the traffic, including all the traffic from the Exchange 2010 users. Make sure that you validate using the Exchange Remote Connectivity Analyzer, or maybe you can have a few test users, but just make sure that you validate it. Yeah, you can always move them back if something doesn't work, and then you're actually kind of ready to go to move to the Exchange in the intranet side. Small note. Edge. Servers. Exchange 2010 has got this Edge server mechanism. Do make sure that you update all your Edge servers to Service Pack 3 as well. Update them as well. Yeah? Make sure that you update them, because once we run the etching, there will be a population of the server status, the server version, which is updated when you install Service Pack 3. So please do make sure that you update all your Edge servers to Service Pack 3. They will run against 2013, but you need to update them. And then you're kind of ready. You can kind of build the database availability group, expand it, and you're ready to move your users to Exchange 2013. I can see that quite a lot of you are taking pictures of the slide. That is great. You will be able to download them, just as a kind of a... But of course, you can take pictures for me. It's up to you. Yeah, and then you're ready to move the world and exchange the mailboxes, and the Exchange Client Access Server will proxy the request to the mailbox server. And then you move to the intranet side, and you can do the same thing over there. Easy? The answer is yes. Yes. Okay. Upgrading from Exchange 2007 to 2013, same thing, but a bit different. Why is it a bit different? Because, of course, what you need to do is make sure that you deploy Rollup Update 10 across the organization, prepare your Active Directory with the schema updates, and validate that everything's working. Deploy the client access server, the mailbox server. There's nothing different, yeah? But this is it. This is the big difference, yeah? When you're going to upgrade from Exchange 2007, to Exchange 2013, there is this legacy that you need to do for Outlook Web App. So please do make sure that you do it. You need a legacy namespace. because we will redirect your users to Exchange 2007. It will not be a proxy from 2013 to 2007. That's the biggest difference. Does it have to be called legacy? Yes, no, just joking. You can name it anything, but it's kind of what you find in every single piece of documentation. So just pick a name that is internet resolvable and point it to the legacy client access server. It's more than just OWA. It's more than just webmail.contoso or mail.contoso.com. Please do remember you have this thing called virtual directories. You love them because you get to use PowerShell to change the internal and the external URL. Yes, you do. Yeah? Don't forget them. Change those as well to match the legacy URL, because otherwise you might have an issue in your Outlook with the offline address book, stuff like that. So keep that in mind. Yeah. Of course, you need to obtain and deploy the certificates. Yeah, I think it's kind of normal, what we always been telling you. Deploy the certificates on the Client Access Server 2007, deploy them on there. Yeah. Validate, of course, make sure they're validated using the same tools. Move your mailboxes and go to the intranet site. So the biggest difference between 2007 and 2010 is that this, that piece number three, the legacy namespace, that you need to keep in mind. Yeah? Because that will require you, oh no, it's not just me involved, it means involving the people from the proxy server too, and we need to involve the people from the firewall. Don't forget that. Need to do that. Okay? So, now let's have a look at the steps in a bit more detail. Yeah? So we're going to deploy Exchange, upgrading Exchange. So first thing you do is install the Exchange across the Service Pack 3 2010 and on Exchange 2007. Do it on all servers. All servers have got to be updated. I already told the Edge server, but I want to stress that every single server has got to be updated. All of them. Yeah? Okay? So that's what you need to do. So prepares it. If you want to validate a client access server, there you see it. The Microsoft Connectivity Analyzer is there for you. We've got the Remote Connectivity Analyzer, and we've got the built-in test commandlets. Use it. Use Exchange Management Shell is there for you. You can use it, and he can mimic a user and see what's going on. A few tips on this. I already told you about the schema extensions. I want to know. I'm entering a brand new environment I've never visited before, and I want to know if their schema is up to date for Exchange 2013 Cumulative Update 1. Check that. Yeah. And if you say, yeah, I want to know if the domains have been prepped, check this. So if you go to the configuration partition, you see that? Configuration partition, services, Microsoft Exchange. On your organization name, there you will see that the object version, if the domain has been prepped successfully for Exchange 2013, the value of object version will be 15,614. It's the same value for Exchange 2013 and the CU1 version. But just if you want to make sure, and if you feel like I want to use AdviEdit for it, don't want to check if the groups and the users exist in Active Directory using computers, do this. And another thing you can prep, you can check in the domain, for every domain, of course. There you can see that object version on the Microsoft Exchange System Objects folder. Yeah, has to be 13,236. Small note, always say that, it seems. Do keep in mind domain prep. Prep every single domain that will have Exchange servers in it, and prep every single domain that will have mail-enabled users in it. It's not because there is no Exchange server in it that you don't need to prep it. If you want to have users in a domain that doesn't have an Exchange server in it, prep it. It's been the same ever since the first release, well, ever since in previous versions as well, but please do make sure that you prep those domains as well. So first step done, take your time for this one. It's not taking long, it's, you know how it is, you're looking at the screen like schema prep, nothing should go wrong, there shouldn't be anything going on with the schema master now. I know the feeling, just relax, take your time that the replication has been done to all domain controllers, that you can relax and stay at ease. Yeah? Domain prep, detail, make sure that it's done, wait for replication and then move to the next step. Upgrading to Exchange, there you go, you see it. You install both the mailbox server and you install the client access server. How do you do that? Command line, yeah? Setup.exe, no more setup.com, setup.exe. Mode install, client access, the mailbox and the management tools. Of course, there is a GUI as well. And as I already said, do not forget to add the I accept Exchange server license terms. I know once you've typed it, you won't forget it, that you accepted them. Yeah. If you don't add them, it won't run. Yeah. Install both mailbox and client access server. Remember that. Only my mailbox server won't get you anywhere. Only client access server won't get you anywhere. By the way, if you think, yeah, but hang on. I seem to remember that in Exchange 2013, there is a new certificate wizard, a brilliant wizard. If you say, let's tweak the system and let's only install the management tools, maybe I can already run that certificate wizard. Now, mailbox, client access server, and then you will be able to use the management tools. Installing the management tools, by the way, will only install the Exchange Management Shell. The other things you need to do, you need to use the Exchange Admin Center that you can gain access to via your client access server. Okay, so if you want to do it, of course, you can do server role selection. There you have it, yeah. So you can, of course, yeah, maybe I should... You cannot remove a role, but of course you can add a role. I mean, you can add one, yeah? So no need, you can add it afterwards, yeah? And there you can simply check the box if you want to accept the Exchange Server License Term Agreement. You can simply just check the box, okay? Already at place number three, the legacy part. Just remember, legacy doesn't have to be called legacy. You can name it anything. It's up to you what you want to do. It's required for Exchange 2007 coexistence only. It's not new. It was in Exchange 2010 as well. Please do make sure that you do not forget the virtual directories on your client access server. Create a script to change them and create a rollback script to unchange them. Yeah? Put some time in that PowerShell script. It's not difficult, but just make sure you do it. And every single slide, well, most of the slides, you've already seen me talking about, do make sure that you test it. And then I've got a lot of customers that say, that's great, but my Exchange server is not accessible from the outside. The Exchange Remote Connectivity Analyzer is running on the outside. Well, just check the new version of the Exchange Remote Connectivity Analyzer, because look at that. There you see, you know that, you've been there. That's exchangeconnectivity.com. I'm sure you've been there, you've used it for Exchange, for Link, for everything. But there we have the client. So you can actually go to the Remote Connectivity Analyzer and download the Connectivity Analyzer tool and run it in your environment. Yeah? Because, well, the thing that we ask you to do is, when you run it, we ask you this. We ask you a username and a password. And I know for some people say, no, I'm not going to give my credentials to Microsoft. Are you kidding? Well, just, you can do it. We won't ever have access to it. You can run it in your on-prem environment. Yeah? So have a look at it. Yeah. So you say, I need to specify, of course, my source mailbox logon ID. I need to specify it correctly. Okay, and they're testing free busy information. Yeah. And then, of course, I love this one. You're running it. And then the result you get is administrator assistance may be required. I know that. I am the admin. So just so you know, you can actually run it offsite. Yeah? Save it, send it to your help desk, preferred help desk, and you're ready to go. Remember the legacy. Remember that. Obtain and deploy certificates. What's up with the certificates? What's the problem with certificates? I think some of you can already call out a few problems. I'll give you some. My certificate has expired and I didn't know. Ever run into that? No? It's an issue. Yeah? Look at that. Exchange Admin Center will notify you when a certificate is about to expire. Yoo-hoo. Good. Very good. Yeah? Another thing that we see, yeah, you want us to minimize the number of certificates, that's great, but I've got 1,000 domains. Then you come up with legacy, then you come up with this and this and this and this. What about wildcard certificates? Wildcard certificates are absolutely supported, but sometimes we feel that wildcard certificates are easy, you cover everything. The problem is the security, because sometimes the security officer in the company says no wildcard, because then we're not that secure. Yeah. What we did is we have, there was already a wizard in Exchange 2010, and in Exchange 2007 we had a lovely PowerShell to do it for you. You can do now, we have a new certificate wizard in the Exchange Admin Center. That will help you create a new certificate, make sure that if you want to minimize the number of certificates, make sure that you mark it to be exportable. Yeah? So that you get it and yeah, you can export it and deploy it on all the other Exchange servers. Split DNS, yeah, it's not a requirement. It's something that we recommend, split DNS. I think that you can already see why it's easier. Limiting the numbers of names on a certificate, well, if you do not have split DNS, that will make it a bit more difficult, yeah? Don't list your machine host names in the certificate host name list. It's not necessary. Yeah? And of course, you can use a subject alternative name certificate. So if you say, yeah, but I need, what do you need? You need auto discovery, you need webmail. You say, yeah, but you know what? I want to have this thing like, I want to have really secure SMTP and I want to enforce it. So I want to have SMTP in my certificate. It's up to you what you want to do. It's up to you how you publish your mail environment. But do try to make it easier. And you'll be very happy that you will be notified if the certificate is about to expire as an admin. Yeah? So that's going to save you a few phone calls when it has expired. Upgrading. Next step, switch primary namespace. This is the moment where you will be the most scared and maybe a bit frightened because, oh, we're going to change everything. Yeah. Use a few prep users, a few you're my victim, try to do that. Validate the legacy namespace creation, validate that in advance, of course you do. Please do make sure that when we're talking about Exchange 2007, we're still talking about layer 7 load balancing. Please do make sure that you have for your legacy namespace a separate VIP with your layer 7 load balancer. Yeah. Configure the auto-discover service internal URI on Exchange client access server to the load balancing fully qualified domain name, just to make sure that everything will continue to work as it should work. Yeah. Update DNS. Make sure that it points to your client access server 2013. Every single time you see update DNS is the time where you hopefully thought in advance about the time to live. Something like keep it in mind, time to live of your DNS record. Make sure that you set it a bit shorter, that you can immediately test if everything is going all right. Yeah. Update the publishing rules for legacy namespace. Yeah. And of course, use the tools that we've already talked about. If you can gain access to your Exchange server internally and externally. Bit of a side note now. This is Outlook Web App. These are the URLs that are provisioned to a user when using Outlook to gain access to the offline address book and so on. But there is this other thing that most of you are probably already familiar with, Outlook Anywhere. Outlook Anywhere. So what happens if you were to have an Outlook Anywhere set up, configuration set up against your Exchange 2007-2010 environment? Something looking like this. I think this may look familiar. Yeah, I've got that layer 7 load balancer. Yep, that's how it goes. Comes to the client access server. RPC requests are forwarded to the mail proxy to the mailbox server. This is it, because I want my users to be able to encapsulate RPC and talk from the outside to their using Outlook to their Exchange mailbox. So how do we do it there? Well, in the end, it's always the same story. Yeah? You install Exchange 2013. You install the CU1, remember? I should have said first, make sure that Exchange 2007-2010 is updated to Service Pack 3, Service Pack 0 will update 10, and so on. Yeah? Please do make sure that you add to the IIS authentication NTLM. Please do make sure you do that. Yeah? So after you install it, make sure that, one, enable Outlook Anywhere on all the legacy client access servers. Enable Outlook Anywhere on all the legacy client access servers. Yeah? Remember that. IaaS authentication must have NTLM enabled on all the legacy client access servers. Okay? Make sure that the legacy Outlook Anywhere settings are the same as 2013 client access server, so that all clients will get the same proxy host name. I'm logging in and my mailbox is on Exchange 2007. What will happen? Now, of course, low TTL for the DNS cutover, yeah, so that it will point to Outlook, to client access server 2013. So what happens? Outlook Anywhere. You've done everything. You've done everything as it's listed on the slide. Your clients will come in. The mail.contoso.com will resolve to a layer 4 load balancer, will point it to a client access server. And the oops, that was a bit too fast. And it will be proxied. So the request will be proxied to the correct client access server in the correct site. So Outlook Anywhere is not redirected. It's proxied, even for Exchange 2007. So keep that in mind. Now, there is something to think about. Okay? So that's that. And then you're ready. You're ready to move the world, move mailboxes, yeah? Build out your database availability group, move your users. They'll be so happy. Of course, ever since Exchange 2010, we had the online mailbox move. Why is the online mailbox move good? Because your users don't have a problem. Looking back at the old days, I mean, it's less than 20 years ago. If you had to move a mailbox from Exchange 5.5 to Exchange 2000, it was like, can you please close down your Outlook? Oh no, I'm an Exchange admin. I have to do that during the weekend. Bummer. Yeah? But please make sure that Outlook is closed so I can move your mailbox without any issues. And then you can restart your Outlook and I'll tell you the new server name. Exchange 2013, online mailbox move. Users don't need to panic. They don't need to do anything. They will get that pop-up. Your Exchange administrator has made a change that may require you to restart Outlook. They will restart and everything is fine and dandy. Yeah? So that is really everything you need to do. You repeat that for additional sites. So here, in Exchange 2013, we kind of added a new migration service. How did you do the move previously? Yeah, well, you selected your users. You pressed the control button to make sure the first one was selected, and then you could hover down in the list, or you ran PowerShell. Now we have a new migration service, which will provide you with the functionality to orchestrate moves, such as a batch management. So you create a batch of users you want to move, and then you simply just schedule them to be moved. Yeah? It will give you migration reporting, retry semantics, yeah, new commandlets if you want to do everything from Exchange Management Shell. But of course, it's available from the Exchange Admin Center. Look at this, Exchange Admin Center. There you go. On the migration one, on the migration tab, there you have it. You can click on the plus sign and you can say, I want to move to a different database, move to this forest if you're coming from another forest. You select the users you want to move. Yeah, you select them. There you go. I'm selecting a few users. I'm adding them and I'm just clicking on next. Of course, I can specify them with a CSV file as well. If you have a CSV file, use that. I can choose if I want to move the mailbox or if I want to use the archive if it exists. If I only want to move the archive and not want to move the mailbox, you have got quite a bit of options. Specify a different target database or a different archive database. Yeah. And then you can specify when does the batch needs to start, yeah, automatically or manually. And that's kind of very first migration batch that you can create. So pretty easy that to create a migration batch to move your users at your own pace if you want to move them. And that's kind of migrating Exchange to Exchange 2013. So it's kind of, I know you have the feeling like, yeah, I can do that when I'm back home Friday night, long weekend, yeah, summer vacation, you can do that. Okay? After doing the move and the mailbox migration, we come to this piece, public folder migration. Public folder migration, you know the story about public folders, I hope you do. We announced that they would be gone. Who's using them? Whoa! Were you excited that they were back in Exchange 2013? Yeah? Okay. And I love them in Exchange 2013. It's the new, it's the modern public folders. Now, what I really do like is because what we did is, well, there is a session on public folders, but we kind of have public folders. What's the problem with public folders? There isn't a problem. It simply works. You've got a hierarchy. You've got content. A user can set its own permissions. It's brilliant. You can replicate. Great. What's the problem with public folders? Oops, it crashes. There it goes. It was pretty difficult to restore. In Exchange 2013, we've got modern public folders. We made them a mailbox. So we are now looking, a public folder is not a public folder database, not with its own replication mechanism anymore. We simply just store them in a mailbox. It's kind of a mailbox database and uses the same replication mechanism as the one that we're using for mailboxes. That's kind of, in short, what it is. You can migrate existing public folders to Exchange 2013. Yoo-hoo. That's a good thing. Yeah? The end user experience doesn't change. They are different in the back end. For the user, it's simply just mailbox public folders and they are there. But there must be a catch, because otherwise, why would you put it up in this deck? The catch is Exchange 2013 can access public folders on Exchange 2007-2010, but once you have migrated public folders to Exchange 2013, your users with the mailbox on 2007-2010 can't access them anymore. So what do you keep in mind about this? First move your mailboxes, then you move your public folders. Well, yeah? Migration of public folders is a cutover migration. So in the end, what you're going to do is you're going to look at your public folders. So you're going to have a look at the public folders that you have. You're going to say, okay, so these are my public folders that I have. Okay, that means that I need to have this amount of public folder mailboxes. You know, a public folder mailbox contains the content of the public folders that you're moving into it. The first public folder mailbox that you create contains the hierarchy. That's the only one that will contain the hierarchy. So what you're going to do is you're going to look at your public folders. You're going to map them. There is this, well, I'm going to tell you the script that you can run. You're going to see how many mailbox folders that you may need to create, public folder mailboxes, yeah? And then you're going to start the migration. So then you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to start the migration of my public folders to those new modern public folders. Sounds good? Now you may think, yeah, but if I'm already created new mailboxes, public folder mailboxes, what happens if my users gain access to it? They won't. Because when you do that, you will create a new mailbox, the public folder mailboxes, and you will mark them that they cannot be shown to the user. You will migrate all the content, all the permissions, everything will be migrated, yeah? And then in the end, you do a cutover migration and you say, you know what, forget about Exchange 2007-2010, your public folders are now on Exchange 2013. If you have the fear now and already, no, what if it goes wrong? Can you go back? Yes. Yeah, so you can always go back if that doesn't work. So it's kind of similar to online mailbox move. So how does it work? From Exchange 2007, so you have Exchange 2007, and you have there a public folder. You have a public folder database with a lot of public folders in it, yeah? So the first thing that you're going to do is, so what you're going to do is, you're going to install Exchange 2013, of course, yeah? And then you're going to migrate all the users that require access to Exchange 2013. Then when you see that, when you look at the white paper, you see, take a snapshot of your existing public folder structure. What's a snapshot? A snapshot, in the end, is kind of a snapshot is a get public folder minus recurse, and then you're going to export the client permissions that have been set on them. Do make sure run the tools that you've got available in PowerShell to take a snapshot of your public folders, which public folders exist, what are the client permissions that are set on them, make sure you have that. That's what we mean with a snapshot. Yeah? Then you're going to run a script. You're going to run a script that will tell you that. It's a script that you need to run. Okay, and then you're going to map the, which will map the public folders to the public folder mailboxes. It's a script that will say, okay, I'm going to look at the public folder database over there, and then I'm asking you, how big can your public folder mailbox be? 20 gigs? Okay, 20 gigs, brilliant, perfect. It looks like you've got 100 gigabytes of public folder data. I would urge you to create 5 public folder mailboxes. That's kind of what the script will do for you. It will give you a suggestion on the amount of public folder mailboxes that you need to create. Yeah? Then you create a new public folder mailboxes. Yeah, it's what you do is you run the new mailbox dash public folder. Yeah, and you're going to specify 2 things. It's a parameter that is called the hold for migration mode. Yeah, that's for the hierarchy public folder mailbox. And then you're going to specify that it's excluded, that it shouldn't be shown to the users, so that it's invisible to the clients, because otherwise they would see public folders without anything in it. Yeah? That would then be good. Then you're going to begin the migration request. So you're going to use the scripts that you have available, and you're going to do access, you're going to migrate the content. So in the end, the clients will continue to access and create new data. That's what users do. And then you can actually, it's up to you. You need to do, oh, get me the public folder migration request and get me the statistics of that migration request. Once the status of that public folder migration request has reached auto-suspended, you know that all the content has been migrated to Exchange, copied to Exchange 2013. Yeah? And then what will actually happen is, so he's working, then you can finalize the migration, so then you're going to update the snapshot. So then what you're going to do is you're going to say, you know what, from now on, I'm going to say the public folder migration, okay, it's done, it's done, and I'm going to make sure that the last migration is done for the latest content. If you run the command, if you do the migration request now, and you're going to wait for another year before you say, okay, now I'm going to move them over, it could take a while, because then you need to update the latest year of information. So that's what you need to do. You lock the source, users will not be able to gain access to public folders during the lock period. Yeah? Final sync will occur, and then you can, what do? You go to your user's mailbox, yeah, and you specify the public folder database, which will be the Exchange 2013 mailbox database. Yeah? You check and you verify destination folders. Hopefully everything's all right, that you don't need to turn it back. Yeah? So analyzing, the tool that we have available is a script that is included in Exchange 2013, and a script that you can download as well, because this is one that you need to run on your Exchange 2010 or 2007 server. Yeah? You copy the data. Yeah? Data migration happens in the background. We kind of feel what's the amount that you can replicate. It depends on your network. It depends on many things. Wait a while until everything is migrated to 2013. And then switch the clients. A very short downtime when the migration is finalized. And of course, you can switch back, which is always good, just in case anything was wrong. Now, what happens to a mail-enabled public folder? I've got mail-enabled public folders because I like it. Yeah? And people send mails to it. What happens if you say, okay, what happens if it's locked? So if the public folder is not accessible anymore, what happens if at that time a message comes in and needs to be delivered to that particular public folder? That particular message will be stuck. It won't be delivered, it will be stuck, because it's after categorization, so the message knows where it should go, but he can't get access to it because it's locked. Yeah? What you need to do is, in case that happens, so once you've unlocked, what you need to do is you need to restart the transport service. Why is that? Because restarting the transport service will kick in the categorization process again. So that's when the transport service will know, oh, that mail needs to go to that public folder, oh, it's there, and he will deliver it. So these messages will not be lost, but do require you to restart the transport service. Yeah? Okay. So public folders, you know that how they look on Exchange 2007, 2010. Get public folder. Don't forget the recurse, because otherwise you don't have anything in it. Yeah, so that's what you see. On Exchange 2013, before you do anything, if you run the command let's get public folder, you won't get anything. Yeah, so that is something that if you, the big difference between 2007 to 2010, if you would run get public folders, you would get them all, even if they were on 2007, because that was the hierarchy that you would see, that was shared amongst all across all the public folder databases. So here we have it on Exchange 2013, you won't see anything if the migration hasn't happened yet. Yeah. So what you do is, on the public folders, what you do is, option one is on Exchange 2013, you can find the scripts. So please, if you say, I want to update my PowerShell capabilities, just go to that particular, it's a variable, xscripts, go there and check out the scripts. Because there are amazing scripts in that folder that will help you. They are amazing, those scripts. And here you can actually see export mailbox folders, public mailbox folders for migration. And you can also see in there the first one, the map generator. So there you can actually see the public folder mailbox map generator, which is the one that will map your public folders that you have to the mailboxes, depending on the maximum size that you give them. Export public folder statistics, that's the one that will actually give you a list of all the public folders that you have in your environment. So first you run the export public folder statistics on your Exchange 2010-2007. It will generate a CSV file. That comma delimited file can be used as an input for the public folder to mailbox map generator, because that will provide you, based on these inputs, CSV file will provide you with a comma delimited file that you can use as an input to create the mailbox public folders. Yeah? So it's kind of a few steps that you need to follow to do that. No? Okay. Of course, if you say, yeah, but I don't have an Exchange 2013 yet, I don't have access to that scripts folder, you can download the public folder scripts as well. Yeah? And if you say, yeah, but you know what? I just happened to enter a new company and there seem to be some issues with public folders. If you want to know the status of the public folders, check it out. Check it out. If you go to Exchange, if you use the management shell, if you run the get organization config, these should be set to false. Yeah, public folders locked for migration, false. If that is set to false, it means the migration is not going. In case someone tried to migrate, roll back, and you want to start again and it doesn't work, check that, set it to false. Yeah, so you can start again. Because if it's set to true, it means that the migration has been going on or has happened. Okay? And then, of course, on Exchange 2013, you've got the get organization config, and what will happen is, once the migration is done, you will see that the public folder migration complete, that you need to set it to true. So that's kind of the final step. You set this one to true, the public folder migration complete, true, and on Exchange 2007, Exchange 2010, you set the public folders locked for migration, you set it to true, and then you roll them. Okay, I can see quite a few people frowning like, oh no, why? But you can do it. I mean, it's fairly, you can, absolutely, don't worry about it. No, it will work. It will work. It might be a good idea, though, to check out why you're using public folders, yeah, and to have a look at the site mailboxes with SharePoint and Exchange 2013. Okay, brings me to the before last topic, unified messaging. Unified messaging, who's using unified messaging? Okay, less hands than the public folders one. In unified messaging, the problem with unified messaging is I cannot give you a step-by-step to migrate UM, to update UM. That's the problem that I have, because it depends on so many things, as I will show you. If you want to upgrade unified messaging, it depends. Do you need to download and install all the UM language packs on every mailbox server? It depends if you want these language packs. Yeah. What you may need to do is that you may need to run the script to migrate a custom UM prompt. So you know unified messaging. It means that if I call you and you do not reply, or you're busy or you don't want to reply, it will be captured by the unified messaging server and it will deliver it to your mailbox. Yeah? as a WAV file, MP3 file, whatever WMA file, it's up to you how you configure it. You can have custom prompts so that you don't have the default Microsoft Exchange welcomes you, but that you have a fancy, more company-specific person replying to you. Yeah? Make sure that you export that. These are stored in a system mailbox. The system mailbox that is created during the domain prep. So you can get them using getmailbox-arbitration. You will see a list of your system mailboxes, and then you can import them again. It's not moving the mailbox that you need to do, because Exchange 2013 creates its own. So make sure that you migrate the content of that mailbox. Yeah? Look at that, certificates. UM needs certificates too, yeah? UM has got a few startup modes on the client access server and on the mailbox server because they both reply to requests. TCP, if you're using Link, you will never use TCP. Transport layer security is what is required for Link. Dual means that he can both reply in TCP and in TLS. It's what we suggest, that what we recommend, that you change the startup setting on your client access server and, of course, on your mailbox server too. And this is the point, what I was saying. I cannot give you step one, step two, step three, because it depends on your environment, on how you deploy unified messaging. If you need to create a new dial plan, if you need to configure an existing UMIP gateway, if you need to do that, it depends, yeah? There is one thing, you can't configure the UM hand group. Why not? You can't. If you want to change anything to a hand group, you need to create a new one. Delete the previous one and create a new one. Yeah? So that's just, I know it's lame, I know it's a bit like, oh, she wants to get rid of us. No, I don't, but it's just, it depends on your situation. So please do keep that in mind. Yeah? Enable your users for unified messaging. Once you've done that, make sure that you configure all your voice over IP gateways, your IP PBXs and your SIP-enabled PBXs, or your gateways, that they can forward all the calls to your client access, to your client access server, yeah? Disable your call answering rules on Exchange 2007-2010, and then remove Exchange 2007-2010 from the dial plan. Often the number one question that pops up is, what about Link? What about Link? Well, here you have it. You have Link 2010 and 2013 IM integration into Exchange 2013. So if you want to update your Exchange 2013 and you're called back by your Link admin who says, no, we need to first do Link, it works both ways. Yeah, and then you can configure, of course, you can configure Exchange UM both for Link 2010 and Link 2013. Yeah, of course, if you want to take advantage of all the new features, all the bells and whistles that have been introduced in UM and in Link, you need to have them both on 2013. I think that's kind of normal. Okay. It's the last curtain, I promise. Managing coexistence. If you have a migration from 2003 to 2007, you would have to use the 2003 tools to manage 2003, you would have to use the 2007 tools to manage 2007, and you would have to use 2007 to manage the organization settings. Yeah, sounds familiar? Like, yeah, that's how what we had to do. We had to continue using different tools. In Exchange 2013, we kind of updated the admin interface, which enables you to use the Exchange Admin Center to manage most of the things on an Exchange 2007-2010 mailbox. Yeah? So there is no need to go back to those tools for the most common things. Yeah? So that's kind of what we added. Yeah? If you want to create mailboxes on Exchange 2010, of course, you can use the Exchange Management Console on 2010 or 2007. Yeah. And of course, you can perform new operations on those versions as well using the Exchange Management Console. Just so you remember, doing anything 2013, use 2013. Yeah, and that you can perfectly do. So, in summary, see, that wasn't a curtain. Yeah. So what I have in summary, here we have it. I think you know that you need to have updates for coexistence, Exchange 2010, Service Pack 3, Exchange 2007, Service Pack 3, Rollup Update 10, and of course you need Exchange 2013, CU1. Ha. Exchange requires a legacy namespace, doesn't have to be legacy, but of course, could be legacy. Certificate management has improved. We have an end-to-end wizard which will help you migrate. Don't forget the virtual directories. Don't forget the certificates on that as well. And public folder migration is kind of a cutover process. With that, I have to show you this. It seems there is a OneNote that you all have already, probably, that you're going to get tonight while you're going to the country drink. Yes? Okay. You can download it. And with that, I just want to say thank you. And if you want to send me an email on Exchange 2013 on premises, ilvankri@microsoft.com. I tweet from time to time. IV Kriki, for me it's logical, Ilse van Kriekingen, IV Kriki. Yeah. So if you follow me on Twitter. Don't hesitate to ask me any question, I'll be around here. Might say if there are questions, maybe come up front, there is Ask the Experts tomorrow, because I think that looking at the clock, it's like 6 p.m. The restaurants are still closed in Madrid, but maybe you want to get out and enjoy the lovely weather out here. And I want to wish you a fantastic ending of TEGET tomorrow and on Friday. Thank you.